You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
It is December 7th. I'm Steve Dotto, and this is Dotto Tech. Getting so close to Christmas. Art Factory, are you ready for Christmas?
I'm always ready for Christmas, Steve.
No, are you ready for Christmas?
No, I'm not ready for Christmas.
Not even close.
I'm a guy.
You told me you like do all your shopping on December 24th at London Drugs.
I have. I don't say I do. I learned my lesson. I have done that.
Did it work out well that
no,
year?
No, I think I bought about seven gifts, and I was about 2 for $7. Not that they were bad gifts. They just... I don't know. I walked up and down aisles, and I just
that looks right.
That looks budget. They all were great gifts. They just didn't think that.
Well, with the online world, you should be planning, be able to plan a lot earlier. We're gonna give you some great ideas today, though. It's tech gifts for Christmas. We've got a tech gift guru coming on the show. Akash Sablok is coming on, and he's bringing in a whole bunch of gack.
He's one of my favorite gurus.
You like him. Well, he does other shows here too, doesn't he? He does something with a notary show.
He does.
It can't be as exciting as when he brings on gifts.
He never brings those gadgets to the notary show.
Yeah, because the notary show is about notary stuff.
Yes.
This show is notable because it's going to be awesome.
Listen, Wordsmith.
I just have to put up one thing about the news this week. We're not going to spend much time on news because we're getting ready for Christmas. And Frank, we don't want to think about all the horrible stuff happening in the world of tech. Mm-hmm. But there is one horrible thing happening in the world of tech. Have you heard about Carrier IQ? There's a furor over this. You haven't heard about it. You're looking with a blank expression. Okay, it turns out that some phone hackers have discovered an application that's on some mobile phones. It's called Carrier IQ, and this application can track everything that happens. It's not a hack. It's something that they put on the phone as a feature for the carriers and for the manufacturers to be able to track what's happening on the phone, ostensibly to provide better service by knowing where it breaks, how people use it to get those sorts of trends. But it's gathering far too much information, or it has the potential to gather far too much information. There's lots of news on it. We'll be linking to a whole bunch of stories on it in our news section on the website and in the newsletter. Pay attention to it. For most Canadians, not too big a deal. Most of our carriers, are, as far as we know, have not engaged in it. Apple has it on some iPhones, but Apple isn't using it anymore as well. At any rate, it's something that we should all pay attention to, and it's a real harbinger for the sort of challenges that we can face when we start to put our lives into a digital form and we start to overshare without necessarily knowing the consequences.
Does that mean they're going to realize that I call a pizza joint by my place like multiple times a week?
Yeah, that's probably not all that interesting. What's far more concerning...
It's embarrassing, though.
Is are you doing your online banking? Are you putting in a passcode? Are you putting in the passcode for your Google account or your Gmail account or some other account or your Twitter account or your Facebook account?
It's
you're putting in passwords, you're putting in codes. All of that sort of stuff is also being could be captured. And because it's being captured locally on a phone, it's not being encrypted before it's being sent out. So it's a story that we're gonna be keeping our eye on. We'll be talking about it a lot in the coming months. All this talk of Christmas. You know what I want for Christmas, Art?
For Santa Claus to finally bring you something that doesn't smell like coal or look like coal or taste like coal?
No, I want a new mortgage.
A new mortgage?
I think a new mortgage. Yeah, I actually had lunch with Bill Macklin the other day. BillyMack.com, my mortgage guy, and I think I want a new mortgage. Not because I need it, but because I think it would be nice to have a fresh new mortgage that's better than the one that I have.
Yeah, because everyone wants to be stuck to something for like 25 years that you can't get out,
well,
like
see, that's
prison.
That's the thing that a mortgage broker will do for you. So he'll take a look at your mortgage. He'll evaluate whether or not you're in the best possible mortgage for you, especially if you're like 3-4 years into it in a 5-year mortgage. Is the time right to get out of it now? Is it time to renew? Should you stay with the existing mortgage? What are your options? The bank will tell you one thing, and they'll tell you the thing selling the product that they have. And it might be a very good product, but a mortgage broker will look at all of the different products out there and find the best one for you. And the best mortgage broker for my money, Bill Macklin at BillyMack.com. That's B-I-L-L-I. Billy Mack with an I.com.
And now that I know, I have to go return that necktie.
Mac Tech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Chris Miller from MacStation is in the house. That means it's time for us to discuss all things Mac related. What's up, Chris?
Well, this week, Steve, I have a replacement for the perennial favorite of downloaders and rippers alike, VLC, which is been pretty well known by people as a media player that can play absolutely anything.
It is the media player I use that plays absolutely everything.
MKVs, AVIs, MOVs, H.264, whatever
Not
series of letters
on the
and
Mac,
numbers you can
it's
play.
It's on my Windows machines. It's on everything.
Yeah. It does. It's great.
VLC Media Player. It's the standard.
It's probably the most comprehensive, and it's been out for a little while. But,
why would you use anything else?
Well, there may be a new king trying to get on the throne of this one.
I believe you not.
Okay. Well, I mean, then nothing changes from normal. It's called Movist.
Movist.
It's on. It's for Mac. I haven't checked if there's PC because, well, I don't really think about that. But Movist can play anything that VLC can play, but using something like a fifth of the system resources. Now, VLC is great. It plays anything, but it is a bit of a system hog.
Okay.
Movist is clean and easy. There's no buffering, even on 1080p files, big bad files. It doesn't overtax either the processor or the graphics card.
Now, I've never had trouble with VLC. I've never seemed to run out of resources, but you're saying that I could.
If you're using a machine with a little bit lower system resources, or you're pulling a file across a network, mm-hmm. to watch it live from another hard drive, or if you've ever double-clicked on a program to launch in VLC and noticed that 3 or 4 second buffer time, Movist cuts it in half.
Okay. That's it. Movist.
Movist. M-O-V-I-S-T. And it's just a download.
And it's a media player, so it's going to play your videos. It's going to play your anything you download, music, any AVIs. And when you run into strange formats, that's where it's going to help.
Yeah. Between it and VLC, it's great.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you, Steve.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix? You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Good heavens, December 7th already. So Christmas just around the corner. We thought we would follow the path of least resistance and just do Christmas-based theme shows for as much as we can as we approach Christmas. So I invited one of my favorite gadget guys on the show today, Akash Sablok. Hi, Akash.
Thanks. Hey, how are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm doing just great. And we also have, of course, Lindsay Smith on, who regularly does the show. How are you doing, Lindsay?
Good. How are you?
Good. Is your Christmas shopping all done?
I haven't even started or thought about it yet. I'm kind of panicking.
Well, maybe with all this gack that Akash has brought out, you'll get some ideas. And you can't take any of it because he has to send it all back.
I have nerd envy right now, sitting next to him. Nerd envy.
There's a little bit of a nerd.
Well, you know what?
Going on.
After we're done here, I'll let you clean the products if you like.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Anything for a friend.
Before we get into the fun stuff, have you two been following this blow up that started last week with Carrier IQ?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, just the idea of an entire company being responsible for building software on mobile phones that will actually track websites and keystrokes and text messages. It's got a lot of people up in arms about this.
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of the carriers know about this. The phones, a lot of the products have the phones. I know for a fact that the Apple phones have it built in, but you were able to turn it off on the iPhone.
Yeah, they said that was all permission dependent. They're phasing it out with iOS 5, from what I understand.
Well, except you have to have iOS 5 in order to turn it off. So if you have a previous version, then according to the information I saw.
There's a lot of I think that this has caught a lot of companies by surprise. Because you have to go back to where Carrier IQ's licenses could have gone in. They could do a deal with the phone manufacturer. They could actually build it into the hardware and the firmware of the phone. In which case, somebody purchasing the phone, a carrier downstream purchasing the phone, might decide not to enable it. And they might not even, and so it would almost be forgotten that it was there unless somebody went and looked for it. Might be not be tracking anything, might not be looking at anything. Or, you know, it could be started as early as that, or it could be added to the software, to the operating system of the phone, which is all carrier version dependent. So again, there's all these different places that the software can get inserted. What bothers me is who thought that it would be responsible to be tracking this kind of content to begin with.
Well, I can answer that question.
Yeah, who?
Was it the look on your face? Yeah, it was my idea. Well, I think it's the technical support people or the people that are responsible for improving the hardware, and they want feedback from.
Fair enough, and in some cases that's absolutely appropriate. For example, here in British Columbia, driving in Vancouver, I don't know if you two do it, but every time I go up Oak Street and I hit, if I'm on the phone and I hit 35th to 41st on Oak, Telus drops. I don't know. If I've got a TELUS, I'm on a TELUS phone right now. That's right. If I'm on TELUS, it drops the line, and it's dropped it for years for me there. If they track that and then fixed that problem,
yeah,
great. They haven't fixed that problem.
Well,
but not tracking before the secure server the keystrokes that are happening. I mean, the danger is when people log on to their bank account, they go into an HTTPS server. They go into a secure server. And everything that's transmitted has to be encrypted. But it's not, of course, encrypted on the phone. It actually knows what keystrokes. If they're logging at that point there, they have the ability to bypass all that encryption. And I'm not saying that they're transferring that information back and forth, but if it's stored in any way, shape, or form, then any thief that gets the phone, if they know that that log file might be there, they could access it. So that's very scary.
It is, absolutely. And they say they store the information for about 30 days. So there's a good chunk of time there where bad things can be done.
Definitely. Well, my concern is this information is all on your phone. And it's not so much a concern that it's being recorded. It's what happens to it and how it's being used. A lot of times what people forget is when they have an old computer that they recycle, or they even have a photocopier in your office that you recycle, people forget to clear the hard drive. And I've seen it so many times where people have given up an office photocopier, and you know, some even the older units have a 20 gig hard drive, which has a lot of data on it. Every single image that you've recorded for 20 gigs has now been given away. And it's the same thing with old computers, and it's going to be the same thing with cell phones now. New models keep coming out every 6 months, a year. You're going to recycle. They got programs to take old phones back and credits and everything like that. What is happening with that information that you're handing back
that
now?
Data,
I mean, anything short of running over the phone with your car, how safe is your data here?
And even then.
Yeah, well, exactly. They can recover it somehow.
I've heard that you should take a drill and push it right through, actually drill a hole right through the middle of the hard drive, and that fixes it. That's what I just learned that a couple weeks ago.
Lindsay, stop with the, that fixes it. That doesn't fix it. That destroys it permanently is what you're saying. Yes. Drilling a
that
hole.
That explains her hard hat and safety
problem.
Goggles she's wearing right now.
But
fixes the problem, Steve.
Yes, but completely overwriting your disk is of course, because the whole idea behind recycling, you know, in some cases you want that computer to be used again by somebody else. That sort of recycling, other than breaking it down into its mineral
just
parts,
just destroy it.
Yeah,
just destroy.
Well,
it.
You like the idea of drilling holes in hard drives? I can tell.
You know, I actually have done that. I had a couple of old computers. I pulled the hard drives out and donated the rest of the computer itself. But I took the hard drives, I drilled right through them, and now they act as a stand for my current PC.
There you go. See, that's recycling. That was very green of you.
Okay, and one report that I saw last week, I got to ask you both. How often do you check Facebook a day? I know you're not that big on Facebook, so we'll say LinkedIn. How long can you go without checking one of your social media feeds?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm a digital marketer, though, so I'm on there for business all the time. But personally, I would say...
On a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, how long can you go?
I don't check it.
You don't? Really?
No. Well, only if it's for business.
Okay.
Twitter, I'm on daily, every day of the week.
Yeah.
Sometimes two or three times a day. Facebook, during the week, office hours, very, very rarely. Evenings and weekends, maybe once every second or third day.
Okay, that's interesting. 80% of people can't last 24 hours without checking Facebook, according to a recent survey of the Facebook.
We got 20% sitting right here.
Yeah, you guys are both really unusual, which is why we had John.
I think it's because we're immersed in it all the time. We're so overwhelmed
you actually want to disengage when you're not there.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into planning a little bit of planning for Christmas. I'm sure we can get back to some of the other dire news that's going on as we move along. And this is where Akash, you are like a gadget guru. Your website is andnowyouknow.net.
Yes.
Where you have product coverage and reviews. So. Is this going to be a good Christmas for gadgets?
It always is. It always is. You know, and every year when I think, okay, this is it. I mean, they can't bring out anything else new and exciting. It hit me up every single time. So, I've got a list here. I've got a group of items here that sort of will cover everybody on your list.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start here with the iHome IW1. So it's a beautiful speaker. It's actually got touch controls on the top of the device.
Now, iHome is a company that's really just kind of hit our radar in the last, what, 3 years, 4 years? They had like one or two clock radio docks. They're mainly a dock company
yes.
for iPhones. And that's still their Focus is leveraging iPhones?
It definitely is. And what they did smart is you go to every single hotel room in North America and you see an iHome device in there.
Yeah, the clock radio is quite
often. And they work great. So now, you know, I know the hotels that I'm going to. If I'm going to Seattle or Victoria or Whistler, I don't bother taking my iPhone charger anymore because I know the device is in the room itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves, especially if you have, you know, husband and wife, you got two iPhones. One can put it on the dock, one can bring the regular charger. So this particular unit takes advantage of Apple's new AirPlay system.
Love AirPlay.
Oh, just made life so much easier. Built into the iPhone, built into the iPad, now built into these devices. So basically what you do is you start your music and you throw it to the device. This particular unit, the IW1, requires a home network system. So you set it up using your iPhone, actually. So you don't even need a PC or a Mac. You set it up using your iPhone, find your wireless network, and it sets up inside the device itself. You can use a regular cable, a USB cable, or you can use AirPlay. And then basically...
Yeah.
So now that's... And then what you would do is you would just throw it onto the IW1.
Now, once you... So we don't have the network set up in here, so you can't send it here.
Yeah.
So it's all working off of your Wi-Fi. So this one does not work Bluetooth.
No.
And you can, if you it is important to have Bluetooth, you can shop around. You can find some of these devices that I think will take the AirPlay, because AirPlay will go over any networking standard.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
What is the iHome... What is it called? The iHome IW1.
IW1. It's about $300.
And it's just a speaker. It's not a clock radio.
No, it's just a speaker. And it is portable. It runs off batteries.
Oh. It's like a boombox.
Yeah. Put this on your shoulder first.
Chicka-boom, chicka-boom.
That's a pretty cool. I think it's going to be a big Christmas for AirPlay devices.
It's absolutely fantastic. You know, you're in the kitchen, you're cooking, you bring the music to the kitchen. You're out on the deck, you know, summertime, you barbecue go on and bring your music outside. So it follows you around everywhere else. You're not limited to a particular room.
Yeah, and you also don't, you know, I'm thinking about Apple, you know, just with iTunes and using iTunes itself, where you can send music to different speaker systems that are all plugged in through your Airport Express.
Yes.
But that's a fairly expensive option when you think about having to have an Airport Express station at each place that you want to connect speakers, whereas this, A, you could move it around with you, and B, anybody's device without necessarily sharing your iTunes and being on your network consent. So as long as somebody comes into your house, even if your kids' friends come in,
yep,
if they've got an iPod, if they're on your network, they can send it through AirPlay.
Definitely. And if you want to take it with you, just take the wire with you, and now your iPhone, your iPod Touch, everything now is your music source for portable music. So you're on the beach or something like that, you have your music with you.
So once you've set it up once, yes, you don't need to use the network next time. Is that correct?
No. You need the network to run the AirPlay, yeah.
But you plug it in. Exactly. You can plug it in, and you can do an auxiliary in.
Exactly.
Now, it looks like there's speakers going all the way around it. What's the sound quality on that? Like, is it actually broadcasting the music out on both sides?
It is. It has amazing 5-inch tweeters. Oh, sorry. It's got a 2.5-inch tweeter with five subs on the side. Mm. Bass. It's absolutely fantastic sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll fill up this room.
That.
Yeah, it'll fill up a pretty big room pretty quick.
Awesome. Okay, that's number one. And that's $299?
$299, correct.
And you're going to find lots of devices in that $300 range that are all AirPlay-enabled, everything from clock radios to other boom boxes like this.
Definitely, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So, again, hooked up to my iPhone over here, I've got Griffin Technologies Hilo TC. So he'll obviously a helicopter.
Just meant Griffin was for the longest time guys that made basically like voice systems for in your car, like so you could plug your iPhone into your car's cassette deck. That was Griffin's stock and trade for ages.
It definitely is, and it still is. They make wonderful adapters for the iPhone or when you're in your car to transmit it over the FM radio or even connect it to it directly. Mm-hmm. They make a lot of accessories, covers, pads, everything for your iDevice. But now they've branched out here and got this little toy. How perfect timing for Christmas here. It's about $50. And the remote hooks up. It's an infrared remote, so it's not using Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or anything like that. And it just plugs into the headphone port here of the iPhone.
So that's that wrapper you have on your iPhone.
Does
it work on iPod Touch or just iPhone?
No, it works on the iPod Touch as well.
Okay.
And then you download the app. The app's free.
Okay.
You download the app, and basically, once you've synced the two, you can now start.
Goodness, it's flying.
It's flying.
It flies.
You need a haircut? Yeah, ready? Anybody flies. Need a haircut?
No, you're not going to actually make it take off in here.
No, I'm not going to.
Our insurance, Astral's, has that kind of insurance. That is...
helicopter insurance?
Insured for indoor.
So $50 and you can fly. Now, does the RF signal, if you got this for yourself and one for your significant other, because who wouldn't buy one for their wife, will the RF differentiate? Can you fly them two at the same time?
It's actually IR, and yes, you can have you can have up to three device, three channels. So you hook it up, and it automatically switches to each channel, and you can change it right from the app here, A, B, C.
Does it have weapons?
Well, the only weapon is one is flying, and somebody's distracted with a helicopter.
Got laser beams. Look at all those blinky lights on there.
Well, the trick is when they're distracted by the helicopter, you grab a pillow and you chuck it at them. So,
what is the power supply?
Oh, it's got a built-in battery, lithium-ion battery.
And you recharge it? You plug it in?
It's a USB port, yeah.
You plug it into your computer to recharge it?
Yep, and it just charges
just
like that.
Just make it spin.
All right, here. It's...
Ooh.
Is it pretty easy to fly?
Oh, it is. And there's two ways. You can use the joystick, or you can use the tilt and turn.
Okay, make it take off a little bit, because we are videoing this. If you hit me, if you hurt me, this is...
Oh, dear, it's going towards Steve.
Steve caught it.
You did catch it. Okay. It's stuck on your finger.
Okay, that's it. It's good. Okay. We're gonna take a quick break and go to commercial now.
While flight lessons shaving. Here.
Okay, I'm Steve Dotto, and you are tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We are talking pre-Christmas gift planning with Akash Sablok and with Lindsay Smith. And Lindsay, you had a special request. You want to talk about the lady in Walmart that pepper sprayed people in line?
Yeah, so down in L.A., apparently, I don't know if it was Black Friday.
It was Black Friday,
and apparently it gets pretty crazy down there with the people shopping for Christmas. And she decided that instead of pushing people out of the way, she would pull out
pepper spray
clear the area. And so there were some serious casualties, and she actually made it out of the store. They didn't catch her.
And a whole bunch of people came in behind her, like following an ambulance, you know, that's clearing traffic, and they got, I think it was for Xboxes or something that they were, it was some sort of console game that she was doing. Yeah, it was disturbing.
That's crazy.
People do anything for deal.
Pepper spray, like over tech gadgets. I mean, I go crazy over gadgets, but really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I see the sale of. I foresee the sale of pepper spray is going to spike in mid-November next year.
You're going to have to bring those goggles, you know, like onion goggles. You use that when you're or a scuba diving mask.
Well, the danger is now they're going to be frisking people before they have to before they go into Walmart and the other tech.
Well, I hope it doesn't escalate past pepper spray next year.
No kidding. Scary thought.
Okay, I'm holding in my hands, Akash, a set of headphones, which I don't know why, but I have a feeling they're expensive.
They definitely are. This is the Sennheiser PXC310BT.
I love how they give these long labels to
them. Oh, I know.
They fit it on the little bezel here, too. PXC310BT.
Microprinting. So what these devices, it's a wireless Bluetooth headset.
Yeah.
Works with basically any Bluetooth phone.
Yeah.
But the beauty of these guys, of course, is their noise canceling.
So we should let's talk about that technology a little bit, because we haven't talked about headsets for a long time on the show. So let's cover off a little bit. And you're quite an audiophile, aren't you, Lindsay? You've got a couple of sets of headphones.
I have a couple sets. I have a couple Sony sets, and I've got one that's in the same price range, around $299. They're noise canceling ones. They're awesome. They're not Bluetooth though. I do like the fact that these have Bluetooth.
Okay, so there's a couple of types of headsets that you get. One of them is the in canal, which kind of block off their noise suppression, because they block off extraneous sound into your cavity, but a lot of people don't find those super comfortable. You know, sticking an earpiece in your ear. So these ones go over the ear. They're very small over the ear.
Yes.
But when they have noise canceling technology, do you want to talk about it, or do you want me to fill
in? I can start off, and then you can elaborate on it. Basically, what it does is it's got a built-in microphone, and in this case, it's the same microphone that it uses for the Bluetooth. It listens to the ambient noise. And it cancels those frequencies out on the frequencies that you're hearing inside, essentially killing all the exterior noise.
With white noise. So when you actually turn them on, you can actually hear the noise being suppressed. Yeah. I use these on airplanes a fair bit, and they do make a difference. They don't completely cut out all of the outside sound, but they do definitely bring it down. And it does have to have a microphone built in. So you can use these as your headset for your phone.
Exactly. So if you're...
You'd look ridiculous walking around talking with these things on.
Yes, true.
Just do a little wiggle so it looks like you're dancing and listening to music.
Well,
but really,
here's my question too, though, is with the...
Hope he's listening to music.
I guess that I shouldn't worry too much about the fact that the microphone is that far away from your ear, because typically it's right by the jawbone.
Exactly.
Anyways.
A Bluetooth earpiece.
You just don't have this armature sticking out.
No.
Anymore.
Yeah. So are these not actually for listening, for streaming music? That's only for connecting to your cell phone?
Oh, no. I mean, they're designed to stream music from your device.
Oh, they are.
So
okay.
you could
okay.
be, you know, your yes. iPad, you could watch a movie with these, and that's what I use them for. But you could also, if a phone call, if you're using your iPhone and a phone call comes in between, it'll pause the music and automatically you can take the phone call.
Great.
And you should pay attention because not all cell phones are created equal when it comes to the version of, when it comes to the version of Bluetooth, because you need the stereo version of Bluetooth which in order for these to work as a stereo headset, correct?
AC3PM, I'm missing
So at any rate, if you are going to be getting these, which I think is a great idea, if you have somebody with a new iPhone 5 or one of the new, you know, one of the new version of the Android phones, you're going to be fine as far as listening to stereo music. But if you've got an older phone, say if you have an iPhone 3, I don't think the iPhone 3 supports that level of Bluetooth. So, so make sure that the recipient is going to be able to use it. Now, can these things also, I guess there's even home stereo theater tuners and stuff that are starting to send out Bluetooth.
Oh, a lot of them. In fact, a lot of phone systems, home phone systems now use Bluetooth as well.
Yeah.
So you could walk around the house and not actually hold a handset.
And so these are sweet. So, and how much are they?
They're $300. Now, you know, Steve, one thing is if you don't have Bluetooth also, you can use the wire that comes along with it as well.
No, you don't want to. Don't be mentioning the wire.
Man. They pack up into a very small pack.
So they have a nice bag that you come with. I would hope so at $300. Yep. So you can take them on the airplane, and then you'd be the guy with the most expensive headset on the airplane. It's not always the big guys.
Nope. Man, and it's the coolest looking one, too.
They're pretty cool looking.
Now,
but, you know.
Do these ones actually have the three different levels, too? Like, I know the Sony noise-canceling headphones, their higher-end ones, have three different... sections that you can, there are three different noise types or modes that you can switch to. So for example, you'd be in a different mode if you were traveling on an airplane as opposed to being on a bus or train as opposed to being in the office.
It has one mode. It's on or off.
Okay.
So it's either noise canceling or off. And you can also have noise canceling turned off and still be listening to them just as regular headsets.
Yes.
There we go. So that's a good one. And anybody listening for Steve, he wouldn't hate getting a pair of these.
Yeah.
You're expensive.
Just enough room under the tree for it, right?
I have quality taste. It comes from years of being given crap by all of the companies. Because when they send us the stuff, if it's crap, they say just keep it. And if it's good stuff like this, they want it back, don't they?
Definitely.
It's sad.
Definitely. It's going back.
Okay, what's next?
All right, so Samsung just introduced a mini SLR camera. So this is their NX200. In fact, I just got the device today. Now, the beauty of this thing is it's 20.3 megapixel. And I know everybody's out for this numbers thing about megapixel, but it's how the sensor on this uses that megapixel. It's got a fantastic processor, extremely fast, full HD video recording, and of course, the interchangeable lenses.
Now, those are special lenses unique to that particular camera, of course.
Yes, yeah.
They're smaller than...
It's almost like a four-thirds camera.
That's what they're calling it. So 20 mega... You know, I'm going to... Just this past week, I started taking old TV shows that we produced of Dotto's Data Cafe back in the day and digitizing them, and I'm calling them tech respectives. Dotto tech respectives as opposed to retrospective. But it was funny because as I was previewing a couple of these as I was digitizing, because I digitized a whole bunch, I did a thing on cameras. It was in 2005, and I was showing an assortment of cameras from our good friends at HP, who don't make cameras anymore, of course. And I said, each one of these cameras, an amazing 2-megapixel resolution.
One-fourth of what my iPhone has,
But one-tenth of what this Samsung. Now, Samsung isn't known as a camera manufacturer. This isn't going to be for the pro. This is for the avid amateur type thing.
Well, this is the amateur consumer that wants to go one level higher than a point and shoot.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the quality. And, you know, sometimes it's the camera that helps you take the pictures that you want to take.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the automatic setting. It's the ease of the camera, the screen, the menus, how easy it is to get to what you want to do. And the beauty of digital cameras, which you've never had before with the regular film, is it take 1,000 pictures. And you'll learn with 999 of them and take that one beauty shot that you want to do.
Now, are you taking pictures of me,
I just
Steve?
Took a picture.
I got to pose.
Strike a pose. Come on.
Just kidding. Have they gone to, I know, like, I just demoed the MV800 Samsung, which is not, obviously, it's not a small SLR. It's more like reminds me of the flip camera. It's got a big screen that flips up.
Yeah, it's got the articulating screen on it.
Yes. So they've moved to more of an app interface with it or user face, so you can actually select the different apps. Now, does this have the same kind of interface.
Touchscreen. Yes. And I think what it is because of the iPad, the iPhone, and we're getting used to that touchscreen interface, and everybody's very used to or comfortable with moving through the app screens and pushing buttons or mm-hmm. pushing the screen itself instead of looking for little tiny buttons.
I think, too, the apps are getting more sophisticated. Like I know on this one, there's a portrait app where it actually has an outline of a sketch that you can line up around you, so it'll show you how to take the best angle photo of yourself.
Yep. Follow the two-thirds rule on a thing.
This has got some interesting features. I looked through it. So basically, these are all assistants, visual assistants, so that you can take a better picture. Now, I'm saying this is doing facial recognition as I'm going along. I'm just pointing at you guys, and I haven't done anything as far as setting up the automatic features, but it's identifying your faces and saying yes for Lindsay and no for Akash. I don't know why.
There you go. It's my hair. That's it.
It's got all of those features. What is this one retailing for?
This one's a little pricey. It's $899.
$899. It comes with one lens.
It comes with this lens,
which is 18-55.
And it comes with a small flash as well.
And a small flash. And I bet you the video quality is outstanding. Well, I'm just looking at the lens.
It's HD, 1080p.
And so this is where people are going to start to really, using these cameras for video. And this is an interesting size because it's about the size of your iPhone. It's other than the lens itself. It's a very compact and small body, and it feels really solid. It's a full metal body.
Yes, full metal body, nice and compact. And with now using the touch screen, you don't have so many buttons on the top. You still have the rotating dials
if you want to. It's got a touch screen. I was rotating through the dials. I was so used to it because it's got a dial in the back. But it's got a touch screen, so you can just quickly switch to, okay.
Now, how do you guys feel about cameras having 3D in them? Because I know, again, the other Samsung, the MV800, has the ability to take 3D photos. And I get so excited about it because I just think it's so cool to be able to put your photos up on your home television. Yeah. If it's got 3D, with all the smart TVs coming out now, be able to like see your family in 3D for your family photos. But so many people are like, oh, I don't know about that. That just seems weird.
It's coming. It's coming. Like I love 3D TVs, but to a point.
Right.
It's not ready for prime.
And that's exactly it. I mean, you get rid of the glasses, I'm there 100%.
Yeah, well, if you're going to buy a TV, buy a 3D TV because they're the best TV. It's best bang for your buck, but don't expect the 3D to be a big part of your life. That's where I sit. And with camera, same thing right, at this point.
It's an accessory.
Yeah, I hear you. I think, do you want to take a break, Art? I'm just looking. He's nodding his head. Yes, I could take a picture of you doing that if I wanted. We're going to take a quick break. We got lots more product to look at with Akash and Lindsay. I'm Steve Dotto, and this is Dotto Tech. Just a quick reminder to drop by our website where there will be links to all of the different products that we talk about in the show, as well as links to our guests' website. So if you want to know where to get all of these great gifts that Akash is showing us today, drop by dottotech.com. There we will have the link.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
I think it was probably about 10 years ago that the Tickle Me Elmo phenomenon broke across the country, and Akash is trying to bring it back now. What's this Elmo called?
Well, as you know, Steve, going back there, I don't think there was any pepper spraying incidences back then for the Elmo, was there?
No, but there might be over this guy. He's rocking.
You like cute. Him? Okay, so who is this?
Okay, so this is Elmo's Let's Rock.
Elmo of Sesame Street fame.
Yes, so it comes with a little tambourine and a drum set.
Yeah, I got the tambourine right here.
Yep. There we go. And you can buy a guitar and a piano as well. So I'll just push his foot here.
It's music time. Let's rock out.
What's he going to do?
Oh. Elmo's going to rock. Yeah.
There's a reverb there, right?
Turn
them off. Contract's up, buddy.
I apologize to all the listeners driving home if you're listening. I mind you, I've listened to, I think that song might make it on AM 650's regular Christmas list. I guess if you got a kid.
Are you kidding me? I love him.
You want him?
I love him. He makes me smile. He makes me laugh.
He makes you smile for a few minutes. For a few minutes.
For a few minutes.
It is. It's really cute.
He's nice to have around. He is every now and then. Like we have the old, one of the old Tickle Me Elmos at home, and we have it up on a shelf, and it's just nice to look at. And then every now and then, you know, you want to giggle.
Yeah.
You know. So
it's,
why not?
It's a good giggle machine.
How much is Elmo?
Yeah. Elmo's about $50.
$50.
Yeah.
See, for $50, you could buy something that we looked at earlier. What did we look at earlier? That was $50. The helicopter.
Yeah, hand that to a two-year-old. Smart move.
See, I think I'm jaded because way back in the day when we did the TV show, Microsoft had something called the Actimates, and they had Barney the Dinosaur. And in those days, Microsoft sponsored my show, and I had to show Barney the Dinosaur on. And it was an interactive Barney that talked to our computer, and he actually plugged into the computer. And I think I was scarred for life as a result, though I was an adult.
Don't you remember Teddy Ruxpin?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Same thing. Oh,
yeah. I don't remember the Teddy Ruxpin.
Well,
thing.
Those are freaky. Like it was watching you or something.
Because it had those eyes that just kind of bulged out and blinked.
Tickle Me Elmo's kind of Guitar Hero, kind of Tickle Me Elmo, but it's not really interactive. The kids just watch it. It's not anything you can play with.
No,
it's something you just watch.
There's no carrier IQ in the Tickle Me Elmo, okay, so we're okay there.
So it's more just an entertainment to sit there and watch. You know, as cute value, I get it, but as play value for the kids and stuff, I think it's kind of limited.
Well, the nice thing
is,
that you put Elmo down on the floor, you turn him on, and if you get the guitar or the piano, now your child is playing on the guitar and the piano, and they're regular toys on their own as well. You don't really need the Tickle Me Elmo, and it interacts with those.
Well, see there, it's starting to make some sense. You didn't bring me any of those accoutrements.
Well, I did, but they're in the box here,
okay,
so.
Well, we're running out of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so get me onto some tool things. I see something yellow and that looks tool-ish.
Well, this is definitely not for your two-year-old. I'm sure they would definitely have fun with it. So this is DeWalt's 12-volt inspection camera kit.
I know. So, I'm just like, wow, you could do all sorts of interesting things with that.
Everybody's thinking the exact same thing right now. What is the diameter of that? They're all just wondering. Exactly what is the diameter? So
it's got like a pistol grip with a 3-inch LCD screen.
Okay, we don't want to see inside your mouth, Steve. No, we don't want to see inside your mouth.
That's okay. I can see inside my mouth.
So no dental surgery right now. So basically what it is it has a little 3-inch screen on it and
a little wire,
the probe, so to say.
And then that wire is probably about 3 feet long.
About
3 feet,
yeah.
3 feet from the screen.
Yep.
Don't point it towards me right
now. It's like doing an endoscopy on your wall or something.
This is cool. How much is this thing?
This guy's a little pricey. This is about $300.
Does it record?
It does record. It's got a micro SD card slot on the side. But get this, the screen itself, you can pull the screen right off. It's a wireless screen. So now, you know, you've got the device up in an attic or
now
in a wall high.
This is tech. And you can say, is this it? See, now this is invasive just holding it. It's an aggressive thing just to be holding because everybody is thinking bad thoughts. To the radio listeners, it is a big, long snake with a handle on the end and a screen on the other. And the handle at the end of it has a light with a camera in it.
With a camera
And you can, so you can poke this into your car engine. You can poke this into your wall to find out where there's a leak. You could slip this under the bed.
Let's stop right there.
That's enough.
I'll tell you, DeWalt makes wonderful, wonderful tools. And this is the 12-volt lithium ion collection. So the 12-volt battery is compatible with their other 12-volt devices. And of course, you know the quality there. It comes with a really, really nice case. Yes, and it's to be used for construction or construction purposes.
Not medical. It up my
it's
nose.
Not medical. I get that it's not medical, but it feels like it could be.
He's just fascinated.
Do you want us to leave the room for a little while, Steve? Or?
I don't need some personal time with it, but it's nice and long this way, so that's awesome.
Okay.
And you can record it, and is there any way to get the recording song? Oh, it's got an SD card?
Micro SD card.
Micro SD card. Okay.
Yeah.
This is something that I have no use for, but I want.
It's one of those devices where you get it, you will find a use for it. You'll walk around the house trying to find a use for it.
And I'm just wondering how often these are going to be cited in divorce cases as we move ahead. Okay, so that is just an awesome, awesome tool. I'm just such a happy guy.
You're not even doing the radio show anymore.
Keep that away from me.
He's busy just staring at himself in the camera.
Art, you want to come in here? We've lost him.
Art's trying to figure out how to get this into his next comedy show. It's comedy all on its own. Okay. Anything else is going to be a step down, but go ahead.
Jeez.
Well, you know, once you've used that, you know, you want to tell all your friends about it. So what you want to do is get this device called the NetTalk Duel. And there's a few devices out there that have VoIP calling.
Okay, voice over IP,
okay?
Yeah.
And this device, a lot of them, what they do is you hook it up to your computer, and you set it up, you hook it up a computer, the device, you pay for the device, and they come with 1 year service.
Yeah.
What NetTalk has done with the NetTalk Duo is you don't actually need a PC anymore. This one end goes into your router,
mm-hmm.
and the other end it goes into your phone, and you're done.
So this this is competition for things like Vonage or Shaw or Rogers in-home service.
Yes.
That's, or, and Delta Cable now has it, all of the different in-home service that's attached to your phone service. And what does this thing cost?
The device, this device itself is $40,
uh-huh.
and it includes 1 year service, and that's unlimited calling to U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, you can add Mexico for $70 a year. You can add up to 60 countries international for $120 a year, which is only $10 a month.
So $40 a year. $40 for the first year. What is it the second year?
It's $40 each year. So basically,
$40 a year for unlimited calling anywhere in the country?
Anywhere in Canada and the U.S.
For $40 a year.
For $40.
$3.60 a month.
Basically. And they give you a phone number, so you can get incoming calls as well. It has, you know, basic things like caller ID, voicemail. Now, there are a couple of caveats here. One, of course, you don't have the 911 calling because it's hard to distinguish your
idea. So
you
need it's an issue with all VoIP numbers.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And second of all, you do need a high-speed internet connection, so you are paying for that.
Yes.
So you need, Telus ADSL or Shaw Cable.
But you can just plug this into a wireless phone, a cordless phone, and you're laughing.
Exactly.
How's the quality?
You know, it's not bad. It's, I tested one of these devices about 4 or 5 years ago, different brand. It was very choppy. Now with the data rates so consistent, it's very hard to tell. Very hard to tell.
That is, if you do need a landline still, that is certainly going to be an interesting option. I know a lot of people have moving to the VoIP that the carriers provide. But that is another viable. And the cool thing about this is, and what people should consider, is if you're, say, a student and you're going to be moving back and forth.
Exactly.
You know, and you're going to live in one residence at one point and another residence at another point, this phone number will go with you.
The number stays with you when you're traveling. That's the nice thing about it. You actually don't need a PC. So if you're in a hotel and you're able to get a high-speed connection, you can plug this in. Now you've got your line with you wherever you are.
Okay. You've got time for one more. We've got time for one more, Art. One more.
So what I have is a nice little table mat here. It looks like a table mat. It's very thin.
Placemat, yeah.
Yeah, placemat.
Things that I laminate. It looks like a piece of paper, and I've laminated it at home.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is actually it's called a Mohu Leaf, M-O-H-U, Leaf.
Mohu Leaf.
Mohu Leaf. It's from gomohu.com.
Go Mohu.
And
Go Mohu.
Where are you going? So, here comes the camera again.
All right. Look at it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can see it clearly now. So basically what this placemat does, it's a wireless HD antenna for an HD signal.
Okay, so, for TV.
It's basically your rabbit ear has gone high tech. So, and it's designed for HD. And the other end is a regular coaxial cable wire.
Yeah, and you plug that into your TV. And for people that don't know, the over-the-air HD signal that we get now, we've done a couple of features on this. Search here on the DottoTech website. We do a great job of talking about what over-the-air HD means to your TV. And if you're a hockey fan, you got to get this thing. And it's only $40.
It's only $40.
See, and
where do you get that from? Do you get it from online?
You can get
it
online from GoMohu.com. Yeah.
And online, and you have to select a different source when you're watching TV using the antenna. You only get certain stations in your area. But over-the-air HD is uncompressed.
Yeah,
as opposed to what we're getting off our cable, so the quality that much higher.
Steve, how great is this, something like this, for the cottage?
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect. And for hockey season, it's outstanding.
Your motorhome.
Everywhere. So with that, I have to thank Lindsay. Thanks for coming in. And maybe we'll see you once more for Christmas, I hope. Yeah.
Wait, are you going to bring me presents?
Possibly. I thought you might bring me some presents.
Well, with a camera, you're going to
DeWalt.
Yeah,
I'm going to get the camera.
I got presents for you, baby.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some Steve Dotto family portraits.
I'm scared. I'm very scared.
I'm going to do my own portraits. Yes, self-portraits. Your website is andnowyouknow.net?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We'll
have links to all of his cool gifts online. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Time for App of the Week with Chris Miller from MacStation. What's your app this week, Chris?
Well, the snow is beginning to fall, and we are waking up to whiter and whiter lawns, cars, and driveways, much to the humor of a country boy who loves to watch city drivers. And as you may not know, I grew up around a ski hill. Sun
I do know.
Just outside
I do
of
know
Kamloops.
That. Yes, we were outside Kamloops.
Yeah. And there's this great app called Ski Report. It's a free app. And what it is you can set it by location, you can set it by snowfall, you can set it by who opened last or who has the best ranking system. And what it'll do is find any ski hill in the area and immediately bring up their stats, how much new snow they've gotten, what the base is like, and it'll show you the active webcams from that website.
Oh, that's nice.
You can also hit a button called Local Powder that'll show you, say, in the Pacific Northwest, which place got more than 4 or 5 inches of snow last night.
Okay.
So if you are the kind of jet setter that can just be, I want to go skiing on Friday.
A powder monkey.
If you will. Or a snow bunny. Powder monkey.
Made that up. I didn't know if it's real or not because I'm not a skier.
It sounds like it should be.
Skied when I was in high school and that was about it.
Oh, you're not even a two-planker. I dig. Yeah. No, you can just take a look at where you can go, whether you're going to go to Baker, whether you're going to go to Sun Peaks, Big White.
Ski Report.
Ski Report.
Free app, I take it.
Free app.
Mine's not free, but it is outstanding. We finally have the ability in Canada to be able to download, to be able to sign up for music streaming services that really give you some good quality and good value. And RDO is, I think, the best of the music streaming services available on iPhone and iPad and all of the different systems. RDO, the thing I like about it is a music streaming service is it's a license to tens of thousands of songs. You never run out of songs. But you have the ability to create playlists that you can actually download the music and play them back. As long as your subscription is active, you can play the songs back and keep them local so that when you aren't connected to Wi-Fi or when you don't want to use your data plan, you can still listen to your music when you're working out or when you're going for a walk or when you're on holiday, you can keep your playlists with you. So it's a service that I think is probably the best of the music streaming services. We don't have the options that they have in the States with so many, with Spotify and with Pandora and all the other streaming services there, but RDO is making some good inroads into Canada, and it's available as an app on your phone or iPad.
App of the Week is brought to you by MaxStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MaxStation. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Cedric Tetzel from London Drugs joins me, and we're not so much going to talk about stuff that's that we're going to be looking for at London Drugs, but something that's happening in the world that's going to be affecting much of the computer industry soon. First of all, thanks for coming in, Cedric.
You're welcome.
Big floods in Thailand are really affecting parts of the computer industry.
Yeah, it's a huge impact. The Thai government has done a great job in the last few years of attracting foreign investment, especially around the Bangkok area. So a lot of foreign companies have set up factories there. And amongst those factories are a lot of high-tech companies. So because of the flooding, we've suddenly found out that almost half of the hard drives in the world are made around Bangkok, which is currently underwater.
That stuns me. Where were they made before?
All over. Singapore, some in North America, but almost half of the output now is made in Thailand.
Now, is there a reason for that? Or is it just that it happened to be convenient as they were expanding? This is when the Thai government was starting to, you know, kind of offer the incentives to drive these to draw these companies?
Well, international commerce, the various governments are very aggressive in attracting foreign investment. And Thailand over the last few years have been very successful doing that.
And I guess if once you get a core competency in an area, then all of a sudden you've got the employees that are trained. And even if you don't last with one company, that training then transfers nicely into the next company and the next one, et cetera. So you kind of build this little this enterprise.
Yeah. And then apart from hard drives, there are also printer companies and camera companies, car companies. There are a lot of factories currently in that area.
Now, we have seen hard drives steadily drop in price and increase in capacity over the last decade, two decades really. But we've just seen to the point where earlier this year, the price for 1 and 2 terabyte drives was at an all-time, almost a ridiculously low price. We would just shake our heads when we look at them. So we are definitely going to see some sort of a price increase. Is it really going to hit the consumer in the pocketbook, or have the prices dropped low enough already on hard drives that it'll just kind of rise back to what I would consider a reasonable level?
Well, that's for you to determine whether it's rational or not. But over the last 4 or 5 weeks, the spot market price for hard drives have gone up about 300%.
Well, that's not reasonable.
No, I didn't think so. But that's spot market. The impact on the computer manufacturers at this point is still minimal because for the Christmas season, a lot of existing inventory were there ready for the building of computers. But unfortunately, that will probably impact after Christmas when that inventory runs out and the factories that have been impacted will not be online for probably another 3 to 6 months.
So it's going to take 3 to 6 months for that, for the, them to get back online. Now, are we going to see the price the most affected in actual computers, or are we going to see it affected in other storage medium where we buy removable drives or backup drives, that sort of thing?
The first ones impacted have been the raw drives, replacement drives, and backup drives.
Okay.
Like the USB drives.
Yeah.
Those have gone up in price.
Okay.
And the supply also has dried up, which goes hand in hand because the supply and demand is what driving the price up. So that has already been impacted. Computers themselves have not been impacted directly, but over the Christmas season, you'll probably find that there are going to be less deals than normal.
Okay, yeah.
The crazy prices like you referred to previously. And then after Christmas, when the next cycle of products come through, they'll have to work through the shortages in hard drives.
I just, you know, and it's interesting because I noticed, and I just sort of caught, you know, as we just went through Black Friday and Cyber Monday or Online Monday or whatever they're calling that now, that I didn't notice as many crazy deals on computers as there have been in the past. That certainly other type of peripherals seem to be front and center, but there's were less computers this year, so that's probably already starting to ring true.
It's already starting, yeah.
Okay, so but it is a temporary thing. If you are in, you know, if you need to get a computer over this period of time, you're going to be paying what the market bears. But it's going to be a 3 to 6 month period until these drive manufacturers get back online, and then things should settle back down.
Yeah, this what'll happen is that the new factories, in some cases, new factories have to be built from ground up.
Wow.
Other cases, there'll be new equipment that has to be installed, purchased, and installed. So the ramp up period is going to be quite dramatic. In the meantime, it also impacts things like printers. Mm-hmm. And because, again, we work in a worldwide supply chain, in some cases, products that were destined for North America might be diverted to, say, Japan or China because there's simply not enough. Mm-hmm. So, again, you'll find some shortages in some categories of printers, a lot of cameras, and a lot of computers.
Okay. So if you find a good deal now, now's the time to jump on it, or you might be sitting and waiting till sometime mid-2012 before things normalize again.
Mid-2012, it's a point where we're all aiming for, yeah. Hopefully that's, earlier, but...
That's providing there's no other natural disasters that impact us somewhere along the line. This is the second in a row, because we had a big hit on static memory with the Japanese earthquakes.
Well, the Japanese earthquake impacted different segments of the market.
Yeah.
This is actually a lot more widespread for the so-called common products.
Okay. Cedric, thanks so much for filling us in on this.
You're welcome.
That's Cedric Detzel from London Drugs. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech. Well, Art, that was awesome. We've run out of time now, and it makes it easy because I know what I got to get Lindsay now for Christmas. It's easy. The Elmo. She just loved the Elmo.
Yes.
And you know what surprised me is that when Akash pulled out the camera, the Samsung camera, I thought, no, I don't want to look at another camera. I like that camera.
I thought you liked the DeWalt camera.
The DeWalt camera. Yeah, but that's not practical. It's fun. But that Samsung camera really did impress me. That is a very, very, it's, that form factor and that size, it spoke to me. It spoke to me somewhere deep inside.
Well, it's not coming from me to you.
Okay, there we go. Well, at any rate, that's all the time we have this week. Drop by our website for links to everything we talk about on the show. Dottotech.com, of course, is that site. And on behalf of Art Factora, I am Steve Dotto. We will see you next time right here on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.